I just want to welcome you guys to the Kingdom Dating Diner.
Okay.
And then you just walked in to the most amazing banquet that has ever been set before you in your life.
Come on, man.
Now, I do want you to think about just one incredible dinner that you might have had in your life. Maybe it's a Thanksgiving dinner, maybe it's a first day dinner, you know, when you get to choose, maybe in our household, we used to get to choose our dinner. So whatever dinner you want to picture, but this is a multiple course dinner. This is a serious meal here. So we're going to talk about four courses. We're going to talk about the cup of godly friendships. So what you're going to drink. The salad of encouragement. Amen. The main course of purpose. And then the dessert of fun. Amen?
All right.
So we got a diner going on here. We just want to just introduce ourselves. I'm Chris, and this is Carrie Sue. And we are Joe Disciples. Joe and Susan Disciples. And we are in a church, great church in Central New York. And why I say Joe and Susan Disciple? Because we feel like we are the luckiest people in the world.
Come on, bro.
Because we've been given grace. And we have an incredible, incredible God. And, you know, that we even get to be amongst you guys is just amazing. This week has been so inspiring.
Yeah.
We have, we've gotten with people, we've gotten into discipling times, we've been able to see Joel lead a Bible talk powerfully over at UIC, where we are right here, actually right down the hallway. And it was just incredible. You know, we did teach Joel and Patrick in the preteen ministry.
Come on!
So I just have to kind of link that back on there.
You know,
and you know, they were phenomenally spiritual back then. Amen. Amen. But God, you know, God has risen them up, and it's just so encouraging to see. And Brittany and so many others, you know. But what's cool is that it's almost like we almost don't even know them because of how much they've grown, and how much even since the last time that we've seen many of you. That you know, Anthony came back to Syracuse and he led songs like in a way that I never even thought he could do. It was just amazing. It was like, wow, this is growth. And you know, that's all that matters to God. Wherever we are at, He just wants to take us and just help us to grow. So we're just excited to be here. We're so thankful for Chris and Teresa.
Yeah.
They have so much vision for all of you guys.
Yes.
And it's just amazing to see their daily lives. You know, just to see how hard they work for God. And it's because of you guys, that you guys are their crown and their joy.
Amen.
And, you know, I know that because they poured their lives out for us.
Yeah.
Just the way they're pouring out their lives for you guys.
Yeah.
And just to really be grateful for that.
Yeah.
I think we didn't realize, we lived 5 minutes away from them. And I told this to some of my friends back in Central New York that, you know, you just have a different mindset. Now that we're really trying to train for the ministry and get as much as we can from Andrew and Patrick, who are doing a phenomenal job back in Syracuse. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, amen. But when you change your mindset to, I need to learn as much as possible from these people, then I'm like, wow, we live 5 minutes away from them. And amen, we learned a lot from them.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys don't realize what you have.
Right.
And you've got to really set your minds on learning from Chris and Teresa. Amen.
Amen.
So, but that's a bonus. So, amen. Let's talk about dating. Amen. So both of us just dated as disciples. We became Christians. And we both, you know, were single. And both dated for several years before we got smitten. And that's a whole other story. We're not actually going to talk about that too much today. But, you know, it's amazing how God really blessed us because, you know, John 10:10 says the full life that Jesus has given us is the full life. And He's just blessed us so much. I remember looking forward to these dates all week long. That, you know, and not just with Carrie Sue, it was awesome then, but just with sisters. Just looking forward to these times. And just being excited. And, you know, I got to say, right off the beginning here, before we can get into any of the points or the message, you know, there's going to be awkwardness. Because, you know how I know that? Because I can be very awkward. And, you know, so can you. And, you know, just to realize that, you know, we're a family, and we're brothers and sisters, and what family is not awkward? I mean, what family, you know, you pass gas, and, you know, you burp, and you know, do all these crazy things, you know? And it's like, you know, as a family, do you know, can you relate? Amen. So, you know, really, the dating I just want everyone to feel a little bit, just take a deep breath, okay? And especially if you're a new Christian, a new disciple, you know, you may be wondering, like, what do you mean dating workshop? Like, you know, like, what am I supposed to learn? You know, what do I have to learn? You might not even know the questions to ask. Hopefully today will be helpful in that way. Yep. Okay, soon I want to share with you all the scriptures that the Bible has on dating.
Oh, cool.
All of them. Okay, you guys ready? Got your pens ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here they are. There they are. There's none of them. Okay? Now, in one sense, there's none of them. Okay? Back in the first century, these guys didn't date like we do. It was a different culture back then. I mean, you better be nice to your parents because they were hooking you up. Amen? They're like, you know, here's, you know, Isaac, and, you know, you guys never met, but, you know, looks great together, and amen. So, however that works, but, you know, today, our culture is really developed in the sense that, you know, dating is just what we do. It's what we grow up seeing on TV. It's what we just become, you know, really, you know, we just get all of our understanding of dating from media and family, and, you know, it's just that's what our culture is. So we've got to really kind of peel back the layers a little bit of the Bible to try to get what the Bible really say about dating. And the cool thing is friendship, encouragement, trust, purpose, and fun is all in the Bible.
Yeah,
amen? Amen? So if we focus on those things that really are important, the dating will come. The dating will understand what we need, what our hearts need to be for the dating, because we're going to get all those things from the Bible.
Yeah.
So the real question for us today is, how can I please God in my relationship with my brothers and sisters? Look around. Okay, look at each other. Go ahead. Look at each other. How can I please God in my relationships with my brothers and sisters? Right here in this room.
Right.
Okay? This is an awesome room. I mean, you guys, these are awesome. I mean, your hearts are so giving. We have just been amazed at that. Just for the short time we've gotten to know people. And, you know, disciples, 3 days old, 3 weeks old, 3 years, it doesn't matter. You guys really have a great spirit.
Come on.
So I really want to encourage you guys that, you know, right now, just think, how can I please God in my relationship with each other? That will really help. So let's turn to Philippians 3:17. And we're still in the intro, guys. I mean, this is exciting stuff here. Philippians 3:17. I want to talk to you about just how the Bible sets us up to learn about dating. In 17 it says, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we give you." Okay? So take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you.
Yeah.
Okay, there was a pattern of people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That Paul and the guys who were with him gave to these people, these disciples in Philippi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, so what's the big deal about that? There was a pattern. There was something that they could follow.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the pattern? It's one, you know, A, B, C, A, B, C, A, B, C. It's something that you know, you can understand, you can put in your life, you can imitate.
Amen.
Okay? So take note of it. Why do they have to take note of it? Because if they didn't take note of it, they would have missed it.
Right.
So we know that we've got to really take note of the pattern. Now, I'll go to Romans 6:17. You guys knew you're going to get some Bible tonight, right?
Yeah.
All right. Romans 6:17, and it's kind of cool. They're all 17, so if you want to remember it that way. Romans 6:17. "But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness."
Mm-hmm.
You guys were slaves to sin.
Yep, that's right.
Wow. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Slaves.
Yeah.
You know, the Greek word, slaves.
It's
the same word. Slave is someone the master with sin.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
We were slaves to sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now, what are we? We're free. We're free to be slaves to righteousness.
Right.
Okay? Now, how are we going to be free to be slaves to righteousness? There was a wholeheartedness here in the way they obeyed the form of teaching. Okay, there was a form of teaching. Now, okay, I'm a staff developer. So what do? I go into schools, 52 school districts, and I teach the teachers how to teach the kids.
Come on.
Okay, so I explain to them or give them a form or a pattern that they can then go and give to the kids.
Right.
Okay? And it's all to do with technology, so it's really a cool job. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. So this form of teaching, now, teachers can totally ignore my, you know, the form I give them. They can totally try to do it on their own. They can try to, you know, I've been to school, I know what I'm doing. But, you know, I've been able to spend several years, and I've been taught to give them the form that would give them the best way to really bring technology into the classroom. So there's a form, there's a pattern, there's something that I'm giving them that they need to take and then integrate into their classroom. Okay? So that's kind of how, this is how it's working in Romans here, is they've got to really take that form of teaching. Okay, so let me break it down. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. Actually, verse 3. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual morality, or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Raise your hand if you know that scripture.
None.
Okay?
All right.
But are you living it?
Well,
wow. The teaching is Ephesians 5, verse 3. The form of teaching is how are you going to live it? How are you going to put that into your life? Okay? How are you going to be having not even a hint of sexual morality or of any kind of impurity?
Amen.
Okay? Matthew 5 talks about the pure in heart will see God.
Come on.
Okay, we've got to have this not only this teaching in our minds, but the form of teaching in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's really the purpose of a dating workshop. The purpose of any lesson like this is really to give you guys a form, and then you guys have got to take it and put it in your lives. And that's going to take a lot of relationships, a lot of prayer, and a lot of great things that you guys are going to be responsible for.
Amen.
So 1 Corinthians 4:17. One more scripture on this line.
Come on.
1 Corinthians 4:17. 17 again?
All
right. So, it says, "For this reason, I am sending to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church."
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. Timothy is a pattern. Timothy was sent as a pattern to show exactly how Paul lived and how what he taught in every church everywhere.
Come on.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's like you don't have to come up with it yourself.
Amen.
Now, you've got a lot to do yourselves. Amen. We're going to give you a lot of challenge. But you don't have to necessarily come up with everything you never ever needed to in order to have a great relationship, a great dating life, a great relationship with brothers and sisters. Okay? That's because the Bible is meant to be taught. Paul teaching Timothy. Remember he said, how my way of life. You know my way of life.
Yeah.
Right? All the things I did, all the persecutions I went through, right? The things I taught. Why did he say that? Was he just saying it because he needed someone to talk to? You know, I've been through a rough day, you know. Timothy, can you relate?
No,
you're saying, you know my life, you know how I lived. So you got to live this way too.
Right.
When you get persecuted like you will, you've got to live this way.
Yeah.
He was giving them a pattern, a form, and even gave his son in the faith. Does that remind you of God giving Jesus? I mean, Paul sent Timothy into some situation. It was intense.
Yeah.
So the form of teaching. So we really got to have a deep conviction that, you know what, we don't need to just learn about what it means to be impure or what it means to be pure. We need to learn how to put it into grace. So the form of teaching, I'll give you an example, would be like, okay, let's go out on double dates.
Yeah.
Okay, where is that in the Bible? Can you guys help me out here? It's a form of teaching.
Right.
It's a pattern. It's a life. Okay, so Carrie can jump in anytime, please. So the pattern is that we were taught, okay, let's go out in group dates. Okay? Let's not stay out late past, you know, whatever time and just be alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why this one-on-one time past 11 o'clock? What purpose is that going to be?
Right.
What help is that going to be spiritually for anybody?
Right.
Zero. Okay? That's not going to help anybody. So that's a form of teaching. You guys get what I mean
here? Yeah.
Okay, so when we share this pattern with you guys, don't think that it's a legalistic, you know, this is the only way to do it.
Come on.
Okay, it's much more challenging than that. No, you have to get the heart.
Come on.
You've got to really understand the heart of God and how much He loves you and wants to protect you and really be a part of this church as a brother and a sister, as a family.
Amen.
Okay, we all have different situations with our families. We all have different backgrounds. right? Some positive, some... Everyone has positive and negative in their families.
That's right.
But we come to the church, we get to learn how to be.
Yeah, yeah, I think for women especially, we can be fearful in this area. We can be fearful in lots of areas. But in this area, we can be fearful and think, well, I'm above that. I'm not going to do that. I know myself. I know what I'm going to do. And so we don't try to follow a pattern or be humble and look for a pattern. Instead, we think we can just take it into our own hands and we know better.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, biblically, we need to be humble before God and we need to get a lot of advice. And again, as I said on Wednesday, we don't want to waste time. So why would we try to just reinvent the wheel again and again, rather going to the other women who have been able to be pure, been able to have great relationships, and be able to say, you know what, I'm not an exception, I'm going to be humble, I'm going to learn, and what I don't understand, I'm going to find out the heart of God behind it.
That's right.
So, amen. All right, so come on in the diner. Amen?
Come on.
All right, the cup of godly friendships. All right, you know how you walk in a restaurant and you order, you know, the waitress comes up or the waiter comes up and says, you know, what would you like to drink? And offers that choice. Picture this. You sit down, and the waitress asks your drink orders, and then she says, excuse me, that ginger ale that you just ordered, that's going to cost your very life. What do you think? What do you think?
Amen.
Another choice. Amen. Do you have any orange juice? Amen. Okay, look at John 15.
Uh-oh,
John 15, 12 to 17. It's going to cost your very life. Amen. John 15, 12 to 17 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, to love each other. All right, so godly friendships. So we're going to talk about the cup of godly friendships. Okay? It is like the waiter asking you, are you willing to give up your life? Okay? It's such a valuable thing.
Mm-hmm.
Friendship.
Yeah.
There really isn't anything, if you think about it, here on this earth, short of being forgiven of your sins, I challenge you to think of one thing that's more important than friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
I mean, when you think of the sacrifice that Jesus went through, and what did he say? You're no longer servants.
Right.
Okay, servants, you know, they didn't know their master's business. They were just told, you need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do this. You need to do this.
Yeah, that's right.
A friend learns everything. There's an intimacy. There's a sharing of knowledge.
Right.
So God Himself shared all this knowledge with us with Jesus.
Right.
And then He said, you can be my friend too. All you have to do is lay down your life.
Mm-hmm.
So that laying down our life with each other, that's what we need to be doing in our dating.
Yeah.
That's what dating is. It's friendship.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally... And guys... It took me, I would say, years to really get this deep in my heart. I mean, I understood it up here, you know, the 12 inches from here to here, the longest distance between two points. You know, it's from your head to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
But friendship, if you really are grateful for Jesus and laying down His life, then you'll lay down your life in any and every situation.
Yeah, that's right.
Dating is just friendship.
Right.
Just replace synonym, okay? It's just the same word,
right.
Dating and friendship.
Right.
Now, why don't we think that dating is friendship? Why do we have a different definition? That's right. There are some statistics about how many commercials the average, you know, teenager today will watch from the age of birth to 18. You know, if you take the people just born today, they are watching, like, years of commercials.
Come on.
Years of their life are commercials.
Yeah.
From 0 to 18. That's like, okay, that's why we have a hard time defining these terms.
Right.
So we've got to really get in our head that dating is just friendship. Okay.
Amen.
Amen. So Jesus knew his disciples' greatest need, forgiveness, and he met that need. So a question for you guys. When you go on dates, or you plan dates, are you thinking, what is that person's greatest need? Mm-hmm. That's why I'm going out with this person.
Come on, bro.
That's why I'm spending Friday from 7 to 9, or Saturday from 4 to 6, or whatever it is. That's why I'm there.
Right. Come on, bro.
It's friendship. I'm meeting their needs.
Right.
Awesome.
Okay? And if we have that mindset, it's really cool. Because what happens is, I am trying to be that way. And the person I'm with is trying to be that way. It's almost like a competition. In a good way. It's like, it's amazing. It's like serving each other.
Yeah.
You know? No, I want to meet yours. No. I want to meet your needs. I'm sorry. I'm first. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just awesome. And that's such a wonderful thing. It's so valuable. It's so precious. Tuck on my sleeve.
Okay. I think of friendship, I think of that. It battles loneliness, that you're not in this battle alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you're able to share about not only with that friend, but you're able to share with your family, your coworkers, the friendships that you have, which are so radically different. Because when you're going on a date, you're having a blast and you're not involved in drugs and sex and drinking and fights and jealousy and rage, and you're not having that kind of a friendship.
Amen.
It's so radically different. I know when I first I was met on a Sunday. I went to a Bible talk on Tuesday, and then I went on Friday to a movie night. And I went over to the house, the apartment of these girls, and they were watching a movie, and I'm like, I was supposed to be there for 3 months on an internship, and I thought, these are really nice people. I mean, they don't want anything from me. They're just fun to be with, and they seem like really genuine. And then the guys came over, and I was blown away, because these men came over. They came over with pizzas, ready to serve the sisters. And
come on now. Take notes.
I just thought, these will be my friends for the next 3 months.
Come on.
Because I saw their relationship. I saw the purity in their relationship.
Come on.
I saw that there was nothing that was like, take, which was all I had for my relationships with men in the world. So when I saw that, I decided right then, for the next 3 months, these people will be my friends. And they hadn't even invited me to church yet.
Wow.
So one of my greatest weaknesses is when I became a Christian, and just in my simple nature, it was insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay? And just, you know, I know we can all relate to that. Amen? Mm-hmm. In different ways, we're all insecure.
Yeah.
We all, believe that we're weaker, or we sometimes compare ourselves to each other. You know, that person's better than me in this, or they're worse than me in that. You know, there's this tendency that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the amazing things that happened to me in dating was, you know, I was down in New York City, so there literally was hundreds of people, okay, down there, sisters who and brothers dating the sisters. There's just lots of singles, lots of campus. And one of the things that was amazing was I could remember having a hard time just even inviting a sister out for a date. Even though I knew, you know, it's not like you're going to walk up to a sister and say, you know, when I go on a date, and she's like, no. You know, I mean, can you imagine? That would be very selfish, right? And now,
that would never happen.
Maybe the schedule. Yeah, exactly. That would never happen here. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So what was amazing was that, I remember sisters knowing that I was trying to get out of myself and even trying to just ask them on a date, and they'd be kind of like, so, are you want to go on a date? You know? They'd be like, pull it out of me, you know? And it was just like, man, wow. That's just intense, you know? Just that they would be so giving and so wanting to meet my needs, you know? And that need, you know, sisters see the brothers, And brothers see the sisters. We see each other's needs all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just got to keep it real that, you know, we have an incredible influence on each other.
Right.
Yeah.
All right? My wife has helped me so much to overcome so many different things, and my vice versa. Mm-hmm. So this is the way God has designed us. Mm-hmm. And it's just exciting, that friendship, where you know you're in it with each other. You know that you're going to help each other overcome that biggest weakness. I mean, if we can turn our weaknesses to strength with God's help,
wow!
I mean, that is a light to the world.
Right.
That's incredible. That should be our dating purpose. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, when we think of cup of godly friendships, it's going to cost our whole life. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to lay down your life.
Yeah.
But man, look at what you get.
Yeah.
The friendship of a lifetime. That's what you get. And I think the other thing about that is there's not this worldly sense of, oh, you know, how you were before a Christian or how I was. These are my friends because of what they drive or what they wear. You know, all this external stuff. It's not that way. God does not look at that at all. So 2 Corinthians 5 talks about we no longer look at each other from a worldly point of view. And I think we really got to help each other with that. If we sense that in each other, we've got to go there with each other.
You
got to say, you know what? How are you doing with this, bro? How are you doing with this, sis? Are you really looking at your brothers and sisters from a godly point of view?
Right.
You know, we used to look at Jesus that way. Not even Him do we do that anymore. So don't look at anyone from a worldly point of view.
Amen.
So, and that will really help our friendships. All right, we're going on to the next course. The salad of encouragement. Amen? Now, what am I going to have for the salad? What do you need for a salad? Okay, a fruit salad, amen. That's a different scripture. I mean, that's a different sermon, amen. Lettuce! You need lettuce. That's right. We're going to go through the lettuce scripture. Look at Hebrews, baby. Come on, we got to get some salad here. The salad of encouragement. Amen. Look at Hebrews 3, 12 and 15. Okay, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Okay, you guys are a great example of this. Okay? I've seen how you've encouraged each other. But see to it, okay, that none of us have a sinful, unbelieving heart. Okay? We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end the confidence we had at first. It's incredible. We need each other.
Right.
We need each other so much. We've got to really, really see that this is our job to encourage each other.
Yeah.
Okay? It's our job. Whether you call it dating, or you call it fellowship, or you call it, you know, friendship, it's the same thing.
Right.
See to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart. And we've got to really encourage each other. Look at Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Hebrews 4, therefore, since we have a great high priest who's gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. How are we going to approach the throne of grace? Let us approach the throne of grace. Okay? How are we going to do that? We need each other. We're not going to hold firmly unless we help each other all of the way. And what's a great example? Jesus is the perfect example.
Right.
He's suffered and really gone through every weakness that we have. Every temptation that you feel, whether it's from an impurity or insecurity or a loneliness, every temptation Jesus has felt.
Mm-hmm.
Now what does that mean for us? That means we've got to imitate that. Because He's felt it, but then overcome it.
Right.
Okay? He's felt it, but then blazed the trail for us. And because of His sacrifice, we can be confident.
Right.
We can be confident. We can encourage each other. Have you ever felt like, man, it's really hard to encourage someone?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't tell me who, right? Amen?
Yeah.
don't be pointing fingers or anything. But you know what? The reason is because we're not like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Enough. Okay? So if you're finding it hard to encourage someone, or you're finding it not like the first thing you want to do and going on a date with someone, maybe even in this room, then you need to become more like Jesus.
Right.
Because Jesus became everything for us. He did everything that we needed. And I think that's the foundation that we need if we're going to really encourage each other.
Amen. Come on, bro.
Well, when it talks about sympathizing with our weaknesses, I think that it's a very important thing for us to consider one another, for the women to consider that men love dates too. And so if a brother does ask you, we joked before that no one would say no, but if they're, you know, to be responsive, to be helpful, because part of encouraging is protecting and loving the brothers. Because you know what? Just as excited as I got when I met all those guys that were giving at that movie party, I'm sure that there were people at their jobs that felt the same way, that were not Christians.
That's right.
Because when a disciple is giving, they're attractive. Mm. They are. People are just attracted to disciples because they're loving, serving, giving.
Yeah.
And so for us, we need to make it very, very easy for the brothers, really encouraging them and helping them fight temptation by being encouraging to them. I think 1 Timothy 5 is a scripture for the women that we can look at.
Actually, before you go there, turn to 1 Timothy 5, but I want to say one more thing about the encouraging. If you think of this is a form of teaching that I heard when I was a young disciple. And one brother said, I asked him, what did you do, last night or whatever? What did you do Saturday night? And he goes, I encouraged the other half of the body of Christ. And I'm like, whoa! What? You say that again? And he was like, I went on a date. And that's how he looked at dating.
Yeah.
I encourage the other half of the body of Christ. Isn't that awesome?
Come on, bro.
Doesn't that just totally change the way you look at, what you did Saturday night? I mean, you guys are being called to an incredible purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is something great. And I don't care if you have a hot chocolate and a diner. That is, you are encouraging the other half of the body of Christ.
Come on.
Jesus himself. So that's just really something that helped me.
Amen.
Go ahead.
1 Timothy 5:11. As for younger widows, we do not put them on such a list, for when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus they bring judgment on themselves because they've broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give their enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan.
Wow.
Now, I know this says younger widows marry, but as far as, the pattern of teaching in the culture, Paul might say young women date. Mm. Don't be idle. These are the temptations. This is what the world is feeding us.
Yeah.
The sensual desires. Who are you going out with? What are they like? Instead of just having that attitude that Chris just described of totally just building up the other half of the body of Christ. And that's the focus. I think in Syracuse, a couple of sisters, they just used their talents. They had a great date, and I don't know if you've seen the video after their date, but you can ask George about it. But these sisters were so happy to have a date, and the brothers cooked for them, and they're artists, so they used their talent to draw a cartoon and make a whole video, and then give them that as a memory of the date. Now, that you can just, that's a date, that's a fun date, that's not, that's something that just, they used their talents, they weren't idle, but now they have something good to talk about, and they get to share about it in a positive way. But I really think this is a very sobering passage, because so many women can get caught up thinking about themselves and what will happen in my relationship, what will happen to me. But God wants us to just to date, to have someone to give to, whether we get something back in a permanent relationship or not.
Amen. Hey, look, my 10-year-old daughter is inundated with, that whole dating thing. I mean, and it's amazing. It's like, it's from, now it just seems like it's younger and younger and younger. I mean, back acting great. You know, they're talking about who they're going out with. And, you know, we just tell our kids, hey, just be good friends.
Right.
You know, and just you permission given just to be a good friend. You don't have to worry about all that stuff.
Right.
But I know that's where the world is. Mm-hmm. James, let me show you two scriptures about just the world and the influence of the world. James 1:27 and James 4:4. You can read those later, but really what it says is in order to keep yourself from being polluted from the world.
That's right.
And becoming a friend of the world, which is hatred towards God.
Yeah, bro.
It's hatred towards God.
Yeah, okay,
it's not just, oh yeah, I want to do what my friends are doing, and it's okay with God. Mm-hmm. It's hatred towards Him.
Come on, bro.
He hates that. Why does He hate it? Why does God feel so jealous about us? Because He loves us so much.
Right.
He doesn't want us divided. He
right.
doesn't want us being yoked with an unbeliever so we're drawn away from what we really love, we really, really cherish in being Him.
Right.
He doesn't want that.
Right.
So that's why we really have to, what Carrie Sue was saying, so key, is just have really have that perspective of giving to each other. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is another one you can look up later. But really, it's how we're going to stand up under the pressure from the world. Okay, that is great pressure. Okay, but you know what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says is God will provide a way out.
That's right.
In every situation. Guess what? He's provided you guys a great way out of many pressures by giving to each other. What happens when you encourage someone else?
Yeah.
You are refreshed yourself.
That's right.
I mean, that's awesome. You guys give to each other, and then you're refreshed. And that's really the way out that God provides.
I think a great example to me, God knew I needed it, because in the world, I taught my boyfriend how to drive. I got him a car, a credit card, a job, a checkbook. Like, I just... but it was all so I could feel like I was trying to have a relationship, and it was the only way I knew how to do that. So my very first date as a disciple, this is just God, because he was going to college 2 hours away, and there was an event on campus. So I had a car and gas money. I was working at IBM. This was rare, right, for a college student to have gas money and a car. So I had both, but he said, no, you will not drive to the date. He drove 2 hours to pick me up. Then the reason he did is he said he wanted to spend the time driving back up, just getting to know me. And then he arranged for other people that were going up to bring me back. So he drove 4 hours. Just to encourage me, and it was God, because I needed to see how radically different godly men were.
Come on.
Amen. You know, I think for a lot of us guys, we're not very good at communicating. Okay, I just said the biggest understatement of the entire planet. Amen. So really, what you know, part of dating, what is so amazing is it helps us to learn how to communicate.
Come on.
And it helps us to really understand how to build trust.
Yeah.
Because trust, where does trust come from? It comes from you risking things to each other.
Right.
Okay, if I share something vulnerable, like a weakness of mine, you know, I had a really hard day, or whatever it is, you know, I'm really struggling with this in my character, then I'm giving that to you, right? I'm entrusting myself to you. And part of that is learning how to communicate. You know, we always joke in Syracuse that women talk about feelings and men talk about feeling. Like we have one feeling every once in a while. And it's like, you hurt my feeling, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, part of dating is really learning how to build this trust. And, you know, it takes a total rewiring. Guys, I can't underestimate this enough. You think you might be communicating, but you really aren't.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Can I have an amen from the sisters?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So, because we don't really know how to, okay, but that also should be an amen from the sisters.
Amen.
Amen. Because this dating thing, this relationship, this friendship is learning how to communicate. It's awesome. Now, okay, I had a Volvo, and the first day I bought this car, I was fine, we won't go there. But anyway, first day at work, I went, new car, you know, new job, I was pretty excited, you know, pulled in this long station wagon. It's a pretty old car, but it was an awesome car. And I pulled into the parking lot, and as soon as I put into park, my entire car burst into flames.
Whoa!
I mean, I'm not talking about like little smoke coming out. I'm talking about as soon as the oxygen hit the flames that were smoldering under the dashboard, probably since I got into the car in Connecticut to drive down to New York, it burst into flames. The windshield cracked. And I grabbed my bag. It was like a movie. Grab my bag! You know? I grabbed the bag. I ran out first day at work. I was like early, probably the only time I was ever early for that job. But people started coming in, and it was like so embarrassing. I mean, it was like, oh man, hi, I'm Chris. You know, I never lived that down. It was like, it was incredible. So the thing that happened was this brother who helped me buy the car, hey man, thank you brother. But he felt so bad because there was just a short that happened, and the car was actually an electrician's car. It's really strange. So it's kind of ironic, but he taught me a lot through that. So basically what happened was the wiring harness, if you know anything about cars, which I do not know anything about cars, but basically all the wires that go from, you know, throughout your car come together in underneath the steering wheel, okay, and everything, you know, power, ignition, everything, lights, it all comes together. That whole thing was melted, okay, the entire thing was completely melted. Anyone else would have said the car has jumped. Not this brother. This brother, Victor, was incredible. He felt so bad. He spent two entire days taking each wire, snipping out the, you know, to cut out the whole entire, you know, melted mass of probably like 300 wires. And he just threw it away. And then one by one, rewired each wire. I mean, man, it's incredible that the thing drove after that. I mean, it was awesome. But, you know, you turn on your windshield wiper and the radio goes on. But no, it wasn't like that. It was meticulous. It was better than it was before.
Right.
And that's the way we've got to rewire our thinking.
Come on, bro.
We've got to get a different mindset about communicating and really entrusting ourselves. And it's not easy. Right. You're gonna stumble. You're gonna say things. Oh, why did you say that? Man, you know, you're gonna have to confess, you know, attitudes. You know, we're gonna get impatient with you. Well, all these things are gonna happen. Amen.
Yeah.
But you know what? Out of it all, we're gonna build this encouragement in each other.
Right.
We're gonna put courage into each other.
Come on.
And you know what? If we're doing that, everything's worth it.
Right.
It's all worth it. And you know, that rewiring just is totally worth it. My car drove awesome. Okay, the church will be awesome. It'll be a place where many, many people will be able to come. So, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, the third course, the main course of purpose. Amen. So, the defining part of any meal is the main course. So, John 13, 34, and 35.
Great stuff, bro. Come on.
A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. In 1 John 4, 19 to 21, you can read that later. But it's amazing how John, later in his life, talks about love. And he talks about it as the only thing that shows that you're walking like Jesus.
Come on.
I mean, he just keeps saying it. Do you love him? You know, you love God who you can't see, but do you really love your brother who you can see?
Right.
Come on,
bro. And he just goes back to it. The main purpose of dating is really being a light to the world.
Yes.
Is helping people become Christians.
Yes.
It's the only reason why we're still here, right? I mean, if we had baptized and there was no other purpose for us, we just go shoot right up to God.
That's right.
But you know what? Now that we're here and we get to love each other, what is that going to do? That's going to show the world this love. It's going to show the world completely different love.
Yes.
And that's the main course. That's the main purpose. Go ahead.
I think that as Chris said before, this is a way that we can really show, not to be cliche, but our light to the world, because it is so radically different to share with your coworker that you went on a date and this is what it was like. When I was in college and I was sharing about dates with my roommate, you know, it was it lends itself to long talks mm-hmm. with the Bible open because it's very different.
Yeah.
But then also just going out on dates is such a blast. Just going out and having dates where we were sharing with people when we were out. And it was just so exciting. It still is. I remember a date that Chris and I had before we were going out. We drove up to West Point, and there was a concert there, and we had a blast. And then the girls hung out. We didn't have a study, but the guys had a study. And that guy that they studied with went on to become an evangelist.
Come on.
So it was very encouraging. He went off to Africa, and it was a blast. So just having those special times. The woman that discipled me for a while, she was my Bible talk leader. She did this amazing thing that we called the mountain date because it was like an hour and a half north, and it was at the top of a mountain where there was like a lake up on top of a mountain. And so, I mean, this became such a tradition that people got engaged there, and the KSC knew her because she did it for years, and she would just order KFC, and everyone would bring it. But, you know, people knew about it, and we would talk about it. She even planned it from Florida one year.
Yeah.
But those kinds of memories, sharing those kinds of memories with other people, shares God's church. It's like it's a way to show the visible church.
Come on.
To others, because there's nothing else like it. There's just no way. Women are crying themselves to sleep over men, and we have men asking us out just to encourage us.
Right.
So we have so much to give, and I really believe that it's something that we forget. We can get selfish. We can think, oh, when I get married and when does relationship work? When we have so much, and if we focus on what we have to give and what we have to give the world, then people are blown away as we show each other God's love.
And I think we have to really be aware that when we have fun out, just like you guys, I mean, like tonight, you know, there were people who knew we were here, right? I mean, even people down the hallway who came in here, why? Because people were giving and pulling them in. And that's just the way we are, right?
Yeah.
But that's, we don't go on dates and become, you know, just into ourselves.
Yeah,
you know, there is a time, I believe, to you know, just sit back and really have that relaxing time. We all need that. We all need some kickback time. But that at the same time, even if you're doing that, you don't know who's looking over your shoulder,
right?
Or who's just noticed that there's not been a single swear word
in
the last 2 hours of your conversation.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm sitting next to this person in the doctor's office today, and in front of my son and in front of her son, she's on a cell phone, she's swearing up a storm.
Wow.
And I'm like, wow, you know, our lives are so different.
Yeah, bro.
Because of God. It's not because of us, it's because of God.
Yeah.
And so if we're just aware of that, it's so awesome because you can just catch someone's eye and like, we're on a day here. You know, I mean, you can catch someone's eye and it's like, this is awesome. You want to know what we're doing here? And, hey, it's happened. And I know, I remember for us, one of our greatest joys was going out with other couples from the world. And, you know, you don't have to be dating necessarily to do this, but if you're reaching out to a coworker, what is the biggest thing on their mind is what they're going to do Friday, Saturday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
And so if you get a group of people and you pull in a couple to go on a date, it's the most awesome evangelistic thing.
Come on.
It's amazing. It's so fun. And it can make such a difference with people. So we really need to be thinking that way. And I would challenge you guys to open your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys know that almost everyone is into this dating thing.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everyone is talking about it and doing it and trying to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
Are we not going to use this for evangelism?
Come on, bro.
I mean, it's crazy. It's just crazy.
Amen.
So just like, if you have a dog and you're walking the dog, and that's an evangelistic tool, amen? If you're pushing the baby down in a baby stroller, that's who you're going to share with, right?
Talk about it.
So we're sharing with the world as we go in our dating lives.
Amen.
Yeah, I think we just need to be a lot more bold.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are awesome. You guys are going on dates that would just people, like Carrie Sue said, people are crying themselves to sleep.
Yeah.
And they don't have what we have.
Right.
You know? And I think we just need to really understand whose we are.
Yeah.
You know? And who we are in God.
Amen.
And really be confident in that way. Amen? Yeah. All right, the last course, Dessert of Fun. Yeah. This is the whipped cream of blessings. Amen?
Come on,
so, man. You know, as we're dating, I really want to just kind of end with this, that, you know, we're talking about friendship, we're talking about encouragement, we're talking about purpose. Those are all awesome things. Turn to Psalm 119. But flat out, it's just fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a lot of fun as a disciple.
No,
look at verse 1 and 2. It says, blessed are they, in Psalm 119. Blessed. That's a great word. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart.
Amen.
Okay, think about the form of teaching, okay? If you guys apply this, if you walk according to the law of the Lord, if you keep His statutes,
mm-hmm.
what is God's promise? You are going to be filled with a joy and a blessing.
Yep.
You are going to not even, you can't even imagine
right.
the joy that God has in store for you.
That's right.
On the other hand, if you are seeking that joy, if you are seeking that fun, and you are not seeking God, you will never have it.
Come on, bro.
You will be frustrated more than anyone on this planet who's not even trying to seek God.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know the Word. You guys know the truth. And you've got to really apply the truth. Do you know
Come
what I mean?
On, man.
It's like, but it's refreshing. It's awesome. You know, it's hey, this is the Word here.
Yep.
I've got to apply the Word.
Amen.
But it's a promise, too.
Right.
You know, if I apply it, and if I really seek it with all my heart, all your heart, okay? I won't even ask for a show of hands. Have you been dating with all of your heart? The way we're talking about today.
Right.
Man, I'm convicted. I need to repent. I need to repent in my dating life, amen? So I know if I do, you guys do as well.
Amen.
So I really want to call you guys to really joyfully encourage one another.
Amen.
Joyfully understand the friendship that we have.
Yeah.
Joyfully understand the purpose that we have.
Yeah.
And as we go out and kind of pull people in and let our light shine in this day, we are going to see this church just change.
Right.
We're going to change the whole face of Chicago.
Yeah.
And Central New York, amen. And anyone else who listens to this message, amen. Because you know what? This works. This is a promise from God, and you can take it to the bank. Love you guys.